Welcome to our discussion of Thomas Crapper. I'm John Streeter.
And I'm Joe Parker.
Let's get started. Okay, Joe, how many poop jokes did you try to put into this episode?
Well, surprisingly, not very many. I was trying to keep it somewhat serious, but it's very, very tempting to put a lot in
here. Oh, yeah, yeah. But we want to keep things holy here.
Well, try to. I mean, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. All right, so I have read the poem, Australia, several times, and that's not what I remember. So can you explain the edited quote at the beginning there?
It was the attempt to try and lighten up the topic a little bit. So I edited the quote just a skosh, just a little bit. As I said in the podcast, this was challenging because Thomas Crapper did have a lot to contribute, but there were so many people who had a lot more. And also, how exciting can the history of plumbing be?
Right.
So, yeah, there was an intention to add some humor to this because, you know, it exists there. I just didn't want to go overboard.
So, to the serious topics, I do have a couple funny comments for, well, I'll save those for the end. So, everyone listen through the whole thing. You talked about, it was really interesting, actually, to look over because I've never studied the history of plumbing. You mentioned a lot of ancient civilizations that had some form of early plumbing. You mentioned I think it was the Indus Valley civilizations,
sure.
And they found these relics. But like in Greece and Rome and Babylon and places like that, what evidence do we have from archaeology that this stuff existed? Or do we rely on written accounts that were written, you know, considerably later?
It was actually both. The Roman baths, they were in use far beyond the fall of Rome.
Right.
And so
I've actually been to one of them in England. Yeah. And they're pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's ingenious. And they got those ideas from Greece.
Made sense that it came from Greece, them being huge fans of nudity, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rome, and this is actually a serious question. It's going to sound funny, but it is a serious question. There are many, many, many accounts of famous assassinations occurring while people are using the toilet. Why?
You are never more vulnerable than you are when you're using the toilet.
Okay.
Your focus is singular.
Yeah.
Again, not trying to be crude, but
right.
There's a reason why you feel vulnerable when you're using a toilet. I mean, you are. So, I mean, it's difficult to change direction, so to speak. If somebody's coming at you with a snake or a knife or something else,
yeah.
Usually it was pretty aggressive in that environment. It wasn't like, have this drink of poison. So when you're doing one thing, it's hard to redirect and do another.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads into, I mean, we're dancing around, like talking about what we're talking about here. Why were bathroom happenings like forbidden topics of discussion for like most of human history?
Well, I think we can still...
Of course, now we argue about who can use what bathroom, but,
right, you're right.
But, you know, it used to be like, well, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think even now, there are cultures that still may not have access to toilet paper, and so there's the unclean hand. I mean, it sounds gross, but there's just the idea that this is unclean, this is soiled, this is something that we don't discuss. But I mean, it should be fairly obvious. It's something that is woefully unpleasant. I think that that's primarily why. Now, specific cultures, there was a religious element there that spoke to that specifically. And
like because of our religion, you don't talk about.
Well, it was
using the restroom.
That was what said this hand is unclean.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I mean, when I went to Israel 6 or 7 years ago, I remember that when we were going into a couple poorer areas of the Palestinian territories, they said, you know, take a roll of toilet paper from the hotel in the morning, and I'm younger and more immature than I am now. And was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. And I didn't the first day. And then was like, oh man, they weren't kidding.
Yeah.
Like you said, there are parts of the world that do not have access to toilet paper, and it was an unpleasant day, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But I took their advice on day two. Thank you, Dave Garrison. You gave me, sound advice.
Toilet paper is a wonderful invention. We even took it for granted this past year when suddenly everybody was buying it and we couldn't find it anywhere.
I was wondering when the COVID stuff was going to. But you're right. Yeah. You take it for granted. You don't scrimp on.
I really tried to emphasize in this because again, the history of plumbing is something that a lot of different people contributed to over time.
Yeah.
With the exception of the toilet being created, there wasn't this one event where suddenly we have plumbing.
Yeah.
And we suddenly have sewers. It was just based on need. It was based on need that usually resulted from, like I said in the podcast, the Great Stink of London.
Mm-hmm. Which I can't even imagine what that was like. So back to Rome one more time. You mentioned insane Roman emperors as a result of lead use. What can you give us an example or two of that? Wasn't Caligula? He was one of the
It's people have speculated that one of the reasons why a lot of the Roman emperors went insane is from lead poisoning.
Oh, okay.
Lead was used in many ways. Mm-hmm. As I said, in pots, in plates, forks and knives.
Yeah.
But they weren't called that then. But I mean, it was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so there were a lot of conversations around this topic asking, were the lead pipes a culprit? Were they part of it? And in pulling up some of those lead pipes, the conclusion is, well, probably not, because the calcium coated the inside of the pipe so much.
That's incredible.
I know. And yeah. It like coated it so much that very little lead actually came through. Everyone still agrees that lead probably played a part in that. But it's attributed more towards kettles and all other things.
Yeah. So moving into the Middle Ages, I have visited numerous medieval castles, and at least the ones that I've been to, a lot of the toilets are actually like they are out over the walls, or they're very high up, and the excretions would just fall for, you know,
yeah, under the
50,
moat.
60, yeah. 70 feet, some even higher. The Hohenzollern Fortress in Austria, it's like 200 feet above everything else. Was that common? As far as you know?
I mean, yeah.
And can you imagine sitting on something in that very vulnerable state, like 80 feet in the air?
I think that was probably less common than just having a place that you could open up into a stream or a moat.
Okay.
For
commoners, I know that would
right.
be what they
or,
did.
Or you had to clean it out with whatever utensils
a rag over your face.
It was a shovel to some other place.
Yeah.
Like where usually some place that was running water. And again, that's why I kept going back to the path, the pipe, and the seal.
Yeah.
In those times, a lot of the technology that had been created for plumbing still existed in the large cities because it had already been installed in some ways, not in all cities, but like in Rome, as I said, the Roman showers and baths were still there.
Yeah. Don't they still use some of those pipes today?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. And so when we're talking about castles in England and so on, obviously
in the middle of nowhere.
Right. Yeah. Obviously those weren't present. There was less attention given to the development of that technology for the purposes of a sewer or sending it somewhere else. So again, it became more manual.
Yeah.
They still wanted to find a path, put it on the path to go away.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of it happening automatically or easier was gone.
Yeah. And then you mentioned that people would just throw out their chamber pots
into
the street.
Yeah.
So Grady Lou, that's what they would say as a warning to people outside. Is that where you get the word that's used in the UK, like Lou?
Yeah. They were really serious on that warning.
Mm-hmm.
And I read so many accounts of people not heeding the caution and stuff landing on them.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, they would say that sometimes and it would be, you had seconds to like dodge out of the way. And that's with probably floating excrement under your feet anyway. So it's just as like, how do you get out of the way as fast as you can? There were certain times a day where it was more prevalent. So like in the mornings, it happened a lot. So there was just certain places that you just decided not to walk. Like, I'll go down that sidewalk later on.
Right.
So that way I'm not having to dodge back and forth between chamber pots being emptied into the street. In studying about it, I was just amazed seeing the different drawings, which were hilarious, by the way.
Oh, I bet.
And reading about the, like, personal accounts of people who would write in their diaries saying, well, a chamber pot was emptying on me this morning.
It's so gross.
Like, one was like, I misjudged the timing of the Grady Lou or something. It's very, very, very subtle way of saying,
yeah,
I had a really bad morning.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a bit of a germaphobe, and I can't even imagine that.
And again, it goes back to the path.
Yeah.
They wanted it away.
Yeah.
And so the technology was not present. So they created one. And usually when everybody's creating their own way with something like that, it doesn't go well.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Yeah. So to the actual subject of our episode, Mr. Crapper, or as they would say in German, Herr Crapper, which is hilarious. You summarized his work really well. I don't really have a whole lot of questions. I'm just curious, what happened to his company? Because is it still around today, or was it eventually
It is. So his company was technically in business until the late 60s. It was sold to a competitor.
Okay, 1960s. When did he found it?
1861.
1861. Wow. Okay, so 100
Long
years
time.
Old.
Yeah.
So it was sold.
He was sold to a competitor who went.
Was it still in his family?
No.
No. Okay.
It was sold to a competitor who actually went bankrupt a few years later. So the Crapper Company was purchased by a historian who wanted to retain the designs and patents and so on. And you can actually go to their website and order pretty awesome bathroom accessories and sinks and toilets.
All still branded like it was during World War One.
Huh. Yeah, it is high quality, wonderful product. And they aren't a sponsor for us,
right.
But I really went through their site and looked through everything, and it's fantastic.
Learning from history, what is a modern convenience that you could do without if you had to?
That's a
great like you said, we're always taking for granted so many things.
I would answer that by saying we need to constantly put ourselves out of our comfort in order to really understand how easy we have it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we think about the bathroom, we think about a washer and a dryer, a dishwasher, running water.
Yeah.
We think about hot showers. And I mean, honestly, I do take cold showers because I mean, it's supposed to be healthy. And I'm going to be honest with you, like after that cold shower, I really appreciate the hot water. All of that is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is all incredible. Like, we can literally create our own caves and furnish those caves however we want. And now, with smart technology, you can be 3 states away and tell your furnace to turn on. You can adjust how hot or cold it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
do you have any of that stuff?
No, I don't. But
I don't need the Russians hacking my furnace.
I don't want to be entirely dependent on technology because without it, I would not be able to be independent.
Right.
So it's, but the fact that we can do all those things is a testament to the incredible age that we live in. It's very easy to overlook the luxuries that we have every day.
Mm-hmm.
There are exceptions, like the gas station bathroom.
Yes.
I've gone to a few of those and I'm like, I am not thankful for this.
Yes, yes.
It's like, I take for granted every day that I can get into a shower and it works.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still places around the world that is not possible.
True.
That was kind of the theme that I landed on, because as I said, in trying to mesh together the whole of history as it relates to plumbing is impossible for the time frame that we currently have.
Yeah.
Also, I really would like our audience to stay engaged, and I don't know that talking about specific seals and how they evolved over time would be conducive to keeping them.
I would be sitting across the table from you slowly nodding
it's
off.
It's like, I'm going to shut this off. Seal. What other podcasts are there? With the exception of design and layout, there haven't really been a lot of bathroom breakfast.
Crapper kind of got it right.
The inventions are there.
Yeah.
And if there's going to be changes to them, they're going to be very small.
To your point about not having a convenience, it's one of the reasons why I enjoy camping and kind of removing myself from the various luxuries that we have, because I don't camp like a lot of people do and like bring an entire house with
glamping.
Me or anything like that. I don't do any of that stuff. But it also reminds me of in the summer of 2019 on an AAT trip to France. We were staying in a little bed and breakfast in the village of Verdun, which is very, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It's famous for being a World War One battlefield, but it didn't have air conditioning. And there was a heat wave. I don't know if you remember that 2 years ago in the summer, but it was like 105 degrees in France. And I remember thinking, boy, I really appreciate air conditioning right now, because I went out and bought a fan and it was like 50, 60 euros.
Because everybody bought fans, right?
Yeah, because everybody was buying fans. And I was just like, I'm not going to be able to sleep. So I just slept with it like pointed right at me. And I was just thinking, it honestly concerned me that I was not able to sleep just because it was hot. I'm like, okay, this is not good. And so I've started to kind of train myself, like you're taking, cold showers. I usually, partially because I'm cheap and partially because I want to train myself to be able to sleep in any environment, I don't usually turn the air conditioning on in the summer until it's like, I'm not going to let the place get up to like 80 degrees, but I want to be able to sleep in a variety of climates.
I will go on Rux.
What company do you use, Joe?
Go Rux.
All right.
Go Rux, yeah.
You guys should become our sponsor.
Please sponsor us, Go Rux. We will talk about you while we Rux. Right now, it's about 20 degrees outside, and it's going to get colder throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I did not go on my 7-mile Rux, which I usually do every Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But next week, I'm planning to, regardless of how cold it is.
Good for
I'm
you.
I'm expecting, and it's not a brag, but it's I was thinking about it and I couldn't go this morning, but I am very tempted to be like, my iPhone will fail in that. I mean, because next Saturday it's going to be, I think, like 4 degrees.
Really?
And I'm going to leave at 6:30 in the morning. So I'm going to put on layers and go and try and hear an audiobook.
Or an awesome podcast.
But I feel like I have to do that. Not for bragging rights.
Yeah.
but because I am too comfortable in my life. I'm too comfortable in our house. I really enjoy being warm when I can be.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've been trying to purge. So, you know, to your question, it's more about when I'm thinking about the theme for this podcast, yes, let's talk about the history of plumbing. Yes, let's talk about Thomas Crapper. And yes, let's inject some humor there for sure. But it's more about, okay, because of these people, as it is with history, here's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it's pretty awesome. We can walk 10 feet away and there's a bathroom that works. And it is so nice just not to have to leave somewhere or head outside.
It's got a faulty fan, but that's it.
Yeah. I'll take it, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
And understanding that, we can look through the lens of history and say, you know, not only thank you, understand how it could have been. Mm-hmm. So I said history grants perspective. We can say all of the things I just said, we don't have to go outside to a pit. We don't have to go somewhere else. We don't have to travel to a bathhouse.
Yeah.
And because of that, we can be thankful.
All right, that was a great way to wrap up. I do have one final just kind of funny question for you, Joe, and that is, if you could design the world's most terrifying, world's worst bathroom, where would you put it? Because mine is one that they actually have I think it's in Tokyo, and it's one-way glass. So you can see everything out, and it's in the middle of the street. You can see everything out, but they can't see in. And,
interesting.
And that is... That's terrifying.
So I guess I would ask you to define, what do you mean by terrible? Like dirty?
Not like dirty, but just like the most uncomfortable place in which to evacuate your waste.
I got one. So think of a high-rise building and the floor is glass.
Oh, okay. So like a medieval castle where
you're sitting on a transparent toilet.
Oh, gosh.
You look down while you're in your most vulnerable state and you look down... and see the little ants below who are people. Imagine
see,
the
Sears
Tower.
I view that as a target of opportunity.
Yeah,
but,
the Sears Tower in Chicago has that glass.
Yeah.
So you walk and you look like you're floating in midair. Imagine that as a bathroom. That would be my nightmare.
That's horrifying. Thank you for joining us on our discussion of Thomas Crapper. I'm John Streeter.
And I'm Joe Parker.
Be sure to leave us a review, especially on this episode. We'd love to know if you enjoyed it. Wherever you listen to this podcast, it really does help. Thanks, and see you next week.